Hey, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the How to Become an Elite Financial Advisor podcast. I wanted to extend a personal invitation. If you had questions about coming to our How to Charge Live event in April of 2025, that you would go to howtocharge.live.com. That's howtocharge.live.com. Click on a button there that says schedule the call. And I'd love to answer any questions you have about coming to our event in April. It will sell out, but if you have questions, I want to answer them as quickly as possible so you can get your seat to that event. I look forward to seeing you here with us in April. And now, enjoy today's episode.
Andy, what's up, brother?
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good.
This is the Becoming an Elite Financial Advisor podcast. Today, one reason I love our live events is we get a lot of reps, hearing feedback, limiting beliefs. Sometimes we call it out as excuses, and the advisors do as well. And what I appreciate, and this happened maybe a month or so in an event, Andy had the emotional intelligence to kind of read the room. And we're all talking about different things, and advisors are saying why this may not work, or I've tried it before and it didn't work. And you step back and just called everybody in the room out on a foundational belief that was affecting everything we were trying to do that day.
Yeah, it was just permeating the room. I mean, it's like a losing team at halftime. It's like, guys, I don't think you think you're going to win.
Yeah.
You know, ladies, I think that we should just not go out the second half because I think you already think you lost. Mm-hmm. And it was this assumption that people might kind of need what or want what they have, might. And so this is combined with something that you have, and as a company, we started to implement really in every chance we can, which is the elite versus average filter of decision-making. And we call this the elite assumption. And the non-elite assumption is someone might want or someone might be willing to buy something. Mm-hmm. And then the elite assumption is everyone needs something from me if I want to work with them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I think there's even as I hear you say that, I think the average is someone may need this.
Mm-hmm.
Elite is I can help everyone. I think head trash land is I don't know if I know what I'm doing. And I think there's a version when I look back to being a younger advisor where I was living more in that of like, I don't even know what these products are.
Yeah.
I'm so young. I don't think these people even need me. That I was living in more of like talking myself out of business every single day.
Mm.
And what's tough is that filter I was using affected everything I did. It wasn't a posture of, you know, yeah, I don't know what I'm doing and I'm young, but man, that means I have a lot of opportunity. And so I think as we unpack this together, guaranteed people listening, as we start talking about this, your mind and body is not going to receive it because this happens at the event.
Yeah.
There's like this state of confusion almost of like, I think you're wrong. What we found though is it's right to some degree. We just have to figure out to what degree it's affecting you.
Right. Yeah. I love that. It's true. Part of this is true of everyone to some degree. So there is truth in here for you. So the first is that this assumption that someone might need what we want versus going out into the world. And as we were planning for the episode, you clarified, like, this isn't saying you want to or should work with everyone.
Right.
But it is an assumption when you meet someone that they do need, like, you could help them.
Yeah, that it's a good, that you're not robbing time from them, that you're giving them something.
Yeah.
And so if I have a 15-minute, 20-minute phone call with somebody as an intro call because they got referred from somebody else, I'm coming in with value.
Yeah.
Hey, what have you done in the past? Hey, have you heard about this? And then by the end of the call, I'm going to get to the point where I'm like, okay, do I want to engage with them? Mm-hmm. Is that a good business move?
Yeah.
But I'm thankful now that over the years, I've gotten to a place from a knowledge base, but even just like a, hey, I ask great questions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a good sounding board. I'm going to kind of push back on something if it feels like it's a false assumption. But I can help everybody.
So the assumption, and I this is very applicable to, and practical, I should say. So that's the word I was looking for. The practical application of this is when you pick up the phone today, to call someone, are you making the assumption this person needs me? Mm-hmm. Or are you making the assumption this person might need me?
Yeah. Or in real terms of how most of us work, is this person, do they have the ability to buy something from me? When we taught this at the event, it was in the context of charging for your time and ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And most advisors, the head trash was like, I don't know who's going to want to pay for this.
Yeah.
Versus everyone needs this. Mm-hmm. I just have to get better at communicating it. And so I think what I love about this concept is it's everyone, someone, or maybe nobody. And on that spectrum, you have to decide where you're living. And if it's not in the, I have the systems, the team, the immediate knowledge in my head to help everyone.
Yeah.
Well, then we got to work on that.
Yeah. Yeah. And the good news is, you know, you can work on it. It's very fixable. Mm-hmm. And it really is a decision to be made and then reinforced again and again. But I had this feeling that when I talk to advisors, you know, I can help them. I mean, every advisor I talk to, even if they're not going to buy our program, whatever, maybe it's like, I'm confident that I can leave them better than before we talked. And that's an exciting thing because you feel like you're just giving gift. It's like being Santa Claus.
That's right.
Right. But you can get paid too.
There you go.
Santa Claus makes a living somehow. So the other is that people are willing or not willing to buy. What's the energy that you used to give off where you weren't sure if people were willing to buy or not versus now?
The system then was the interrogation for facts. It was, I got to ask you a bunch of questions. I got to get you through this predetermined fact finder.
Yeah.
And I know when I get to the assets and liabilities in the insurance section, I'm going to perk up and I'm really going to listen. Okay. How old's that insurance?
Now I'm enough about your kids.
That's right.
Enough about your kids and their sports.
I have nothing to offer in every other category.
Right. What's in
except for these two things. And so I think there's the idea that everyone needs what we have to offer.
Yeah.
You may not be the advisor for it, but let's hopefully all agree that everyone in their busy lives is in need of better financial advice, better financial choices, mm-hmm. encouragement, accountability. Everyone needs it.
Okay.
Or the limiting belief here is like they may, or maybe they want to buy something. And what I hear when I hear advisors say that is like, okay, the product is a value at that point. And you are just hoping to get in front of somebody that's willing to buy something right now.
Mm-hmm.
None of us would have a sustainable practice if we just talked to a bunch of people and said, man, I hope someday when they need to buy something, they call me. Because then we're putting the success of our business in other people's hands.
Yeah.
Versus, no, everyone needs me, whether it's now or some other time. And the beauty of charging for your advice is whether they buy a product now or not, they need your time and right. ideas.
Right.
And so I think for me, where I live is that like everyone needs what we have. And then you add that on top of what we just talked about is it's not some people, it's everyone. So everyone needs what I have to offer.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we want to be living.
Let's talk about this last part, which is they need it from me versus just someone. Mm-hmm. Again, trying to remain humble. But I want to buy from people who are really confident in their service.
Yeah.
That not and maybe I want them to think they're the very best in the world. But I at a minimum, I'm like, I want you to have a lot of confidence in your ability and your skill. So how can you approach clients in a different way? If you're sort of like, well, I guess, I mean, you could work, and we do say this, right? We teach people to say, you could, you know, whether you do this for me, with me or someone else.
That's right.
But how do you own the spirit of, you really should be working with me? Where does that come from in a healthy way?
Part of this is knowing your value. I know in our event, when we talk to advisors about how they answer the question, what do you do? And to this date, we have yet to receive a good response. I think there's some confusion around what value do I add?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just sell insurance. Okay, well, what type of insurance and to who? I manage investments. Okay, how big of accounts? What type of accounts? Is it more on the appreciation side or is it on the distribution side?
Right.
There's so much nuance that if you can't answer that question really well, you don't know who you help.
Yeah.
That in this world, I operate under the belief that everyone needs what we have. And then it gets to the point that where if you are a good fit, I'm the one you want to deal with.
Okay.
And a lot of that is just, I believe in my system and my ability to solve problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have enough reps of people saying, I've worked with other advisors. And now I work with you and you bring me something. You know, if I own a business, Sten works with business owners.
Yeah.
Because he brings something totally different to the table. Versus if I just sell stuff to anybody that needs it, I think it is easier to have a mindset of like, well, man, the person down the street could do the same thing.
Yeah.
I hope the client doesn't know that, but I know that. And if you know that, that does come across.
Yeah. So let's talk about a few more things. First is that when we are carrying a confidence that we will have more creative solutions and more ideas if we walk into prospecting with confidence. The way we phrase it was that confidence creates creative solutions.
Mm-hmm.
It will foster them. I don't want to get too much into the, you know, put it into the universe sort of stuff. But I do think that when you approach a problem, i.e. any prospect, and you say, I'm going to come at them with confidence and just say, I don't have to have it right now, but I know that I will find a solution for you.
Mm-hmm.
That is a much healthier than sort of like, I have certain sizes and I hope they fit that mm-hmm. thing. You know what I mean? It's coming from this position of abundance and confidence. Where does that come from? How do you develop that?
I mean, repetition is the best way.
Yeah.
You know, the more games you win in something, you're like, oh, I'm good at this. Yeah. Like, it's reinforcing the belief.
Yeah.
Hopefully what that creates in people is that, like, go out there and just start serving people well. To the last point of, should they do it with me or someone else? Be willing to say no to people.
Hmm.
Like, be willing, if a client comes in and they're like, man, this is a business owner with a lot of money and I've never done this before, either say, hey, I love this, but hey, there's some things here that are pretty specific. I'm gonna have to bring another advisor in and get a rep. Or, I love this, here's some things I would do if I were you, but I'm just not a good fit.
Right.
It's when you start trying to serve people that you're not equipped to serve, yeah. whether your team's not set up to do it well. Like you said, hey, we're going to be someone's home office. Like, we're going to be their outsourced CFO, and you have a team of you and one admin. You're probably not set up to deliver that really
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
So I think at the end of the day, that the confidence will come with reps over time, but you can also go boost your confidence by studying.
Mm-hmm.
You may say, hey, I'm going to go to different conferences of advisors and be around advisors that only work with business owners. I'm going to join a mastermind. There's a lot of ways. First is awareness of, like, I'm not where I want to be. As Sten and Andy are talking about these mindsets, like, I'm not checking all these boxes.
Yeah.
But what I know about most of you advisors is there's some part of you that's competitive. You want to do your best. You want to help people. And so if you can provide service off of that foundation and belief, you can be more confident in that tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
What you can't be more confident in tomorrow is your expertise on business owner business formation.
Yeah.
It'll take time.
Yeah.
And so if your confidence is up and down based on the person you happen to find yourself in front of, and if you know everything they need,
yeah,
that would be a tough business to be in.
Yeah.
You might get one day where you're like, man, this was perfect. They're 35-year-old married couple that needs 529s and to buy insurance. Like, that's great. And then the next day you're in a room with four business owners discussing partnerships and cash balance plans.
Yeah.
You went from, I'm the best advisor out there, to like, should I even be in this career?
Yeah.
And so I think we have to be aware of that.
Last thing I want to talk about is, if you are able to solve more problems, you will have more prospects. We have so many conversations between Jared, our head coach, or myself, just talking with people in our community and people interested in coming to our events, that are just like, I want more prospects. I want more prospects. And the question that we have trained them to ask themselves, or we challenge them with, is, if you want more people to help, which is a prospect, how are you getting better at solving more problems?
Right.
And it really changed it to where they were like, I just need people to show up to say, well, if you were the answer to more things, I mean, how did Amazon come to Amazon? It solved more problems.
That's right.
Right. It went from selling books originally, that's all they sold, to now what do? They do 50 different things, right? But they've found a way to solve more problems, and that's led to more success.
Yep.
And that is something that advisors can have in their control.
And I think for that not to be overwhelming, try to do one thing at a time. Amazon didn't launch all 50 verticals at one time.
No.
Become a great advisor with a great system to specific people. And then as you develop that system, build your expertise, which allows that system to serve some other people.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just try to do everything all the time. And whoever you bump into, you're going to try to create a solution for. That is average at best.
Yeah.
That person's not going to refer you.
Yeah.
They may buy something from you, but you didn't leave the impression you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there needs to be an intentionality around, when we say target market, that doesn't mean a niche. It doesn't mean I only work with dentists between the age of 30 and 40 that live 2 miles from my office.
Named Mike.
Yeah. Over niche. That was cool for a little bit, but don't go too far. But if you say I work with business owners, or I work with professionals that have stock options at work,
mm-hmm.
or like, narrow it down a little bit so you can focus,
yeah.
but make sure your system is built to serve them really well. So as soon as they say yes, you onboard them really cleanly. You follow up with them.
Right.
And the good news is that system built can serve a lot of different people.
Yeah. So I appreciate you ending on that. You know, we do want you to have an elite assumption, which is that everyone needs something from you, that everyone is out there is willing to buy from you. That's a different energy. But also, don't try to do all those things. You know, get better at ideas every day. That's something that I know you're constantly reading. You know, that there's people who literally just study YouTube videos about different methods, and also just have great idea partners. If you want to offer more solutions of prospects, and you have to just go out there and get them, and they're out there. They're out there in abundance, and advisors who do this will separate themselves so tremendously from the rest of the average world. So have an elite assumption about yourself,
mm-hmm.
and carry it with humility, but have an elite assumption that people out there need your help. And so everyone you run into, you could work with if you want to.
Yeah. There's a client right now that needs exactly what you have to offer today. Just go do that and then build on it.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, bro.
Hey, thanks for listening to that episode. I want to invite you to tune into episode 167 that we'll be releasing in February of 2025. It specifically interviews three different advisors about their experience adding planning or improving their planning business based on the things that we teach at our live event and in our coaching program. And the reason I think that you're going to really enjoy it is because it's advisors with different amounts of experience implementing planning in different ways, who all paid their own money, their own investment to come and to get trained or coached by us. And I think you'll be encouraged to hear about how they implemented what they learned. And I hope, and Sten and I, we both hope that you'll consider joining us at our in-person event in April of 2025, because that really is where we find advisors who take the time to step out of their day-to-day life, who then go home and implement what we teach, that they find the most success. And that's what we want for you, to become an elite advisor. And so please check out that episode 167. And as always, thanks for listening.